All right, guys, welcome to the Saluda Baptist Church Youth Podcast. I'm your host, Pastor Brandon, and I'm so glad that you chose to join us on this episode as we recap this week in our youth ministry here at Saluda Baptist Church. And so this week we have a great episode for you. We're going to be starting off with our scripture of the week as we continue on through the Sermon on the Mount. We're also going to be answering a question that was actually submitted by a parent. So I think that's going to be a good segment for us as we answer that question. And then lastly, we're going to talk a little bit about a part of our youth ministry that has to deal with serving and how we serve as a youth ministry. So I'm excited about this episode. So let's get started. Let's jump right into our first segment, which is the scripture of the week. And so our scripture of the week for this week is Matthew chapter 5, verses 33 through 42. And we are continuing on with our study through the Sermon on the Mount, going through the sermon that Jesus gave as he was teaching his disciples and speaking to the crowd there. And as Jesus was showing them what it looks like to live as being a part of the kingdom of God, you know, what his expectations are for those that are a part of his kingdom and how we're to be living in this world, but not of this world. And so as we read through this section of scripture, I think a question that we need to have in the back of our mind as we're reading through it is, how should Christians treat others? Or how should I treat other people? And as I was preparing, you know, this lesson, and as I was just meditating on this scripture just for myself, you know, as I was going through that and thinking, you know, how should I treat others? You know, I just began to think about, you know, my day and just the typical day that I have. You know, we're just busy. And, you know, we always have things going on. And, you know, whether it's you wake up and you're taking care of the kids and, you know, your kids are keeping you busy, or you go and you have to run errands, you have to go to the store, go to the bank, school, work, sports, whatever it is, we're just a busy people. You know, I think back of, you know, having conversations with my grandpa or, you know, my grandpa and my grandmother before she passed away. And, you know, when they were growing up and when they were just getting started, life was a whole lot slower. And I think now things are just so fast and we're just always just on the go, always so busy that, you know, when we're in that grind of the day, we're going about our day, sometimes the last thing that we want to think about is, how am I treating others? You know, how did I treat, you know, that person that was behind me in line at the grocery store? Or how did I treat the person that, you know, was the cashier for me? Or how did I, you know, treat that person that I passed on the street as I was walking into the store, whatever, you know, that's the last thing we usually want to think about, is how we treat others. But as we come to this section of scripture in verses 33 through 42, which we're going to look at in two separate sections, because you'll see why, you know, and even in your Bible, as you're reading along, you'll see they put this in two separate sections. I think they both have to deal with, you know, how we treat other people. And What Jesus is trying to teach us and show us is that he cares how we treat others. And so we should too. We should care about how we are treating those other people that we come in contact each and every day. And so first, we're going to look at verses 33 and 37. And I think as we come to this section, we're going to see that Jesus is going to show us how we should treat others when it comes to our words, when it comes to how we speak others. So in Matthew 5, verses 33 through 37, it says this. It says, again, you have heard that it was said to our ancestors, you must not break your oath, but you must keep your oaths to the Lord. But I tell you, don't take an oath at all, either by heaven, because it is God's throne, or by the earth, because it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, because it is the city of the great king. Do not swear by your head, because you cannot make a single hair white or black, but let your yes mean yes, and your no mean no. Anything more than this is from the evil one. Now, this is a very interesting text, some interesting verses that we see, because, you know, Jesus is basically saying, you know, he's dealing with taking oaths. And he's saying, you know, hey, you know, don't take an oath. Let your yes mean yes. Let your no mean no. Let your no mean no. So we could take from that, hey, Jesus is saying, don't take oaths and mean what you say. And you would be right, you know, that, hey, that's a good thing to gain from that. But I think Jesus is actually speaking more than just, hey, don't say ghosts, mean what you say. I think he's trying to show us the importance of our words and how he cares about the words that we use. He cares about our speech. You know, he cares about how we talk to people. He cares about, you know, when people hear us talk, do they listen? Do they trust us? Leviticus 19, verse 12 says, "Do not swear falsely by my name, profaning the name of your God. I am the Lord." Zechariah 8, 16 through 17 says, "These are the things you must do. Speak truth to one another. Make true and sound decisions within your city gates. Do not plot evil in your hearts against your neighbor, and do not love perjury. For I hate all this. This is the Lord's declaration." Jesus cares about our words. God cares about our words. That is why he's given us these verses here talking about, you know, oaths and our speech and letting our yes mean yes and our no mean no, because he cares about our words. And now how cognizant are we of our words that we use each and every day? Like I know even today, I use words poorly, right? Like I will just say something and then I'll have to be like, oh, I didn't mean it that way. Or, well, that's not really what I was trying to say. We can be very flippant with our words, but God cares about our words. And not only does he care about our words, as we've seen even in those other verses, how God cares about how we are speaking the truth, our words should always be truthful and good. James 5:12, James is saying exactly what Jesus is saying here. It says, "Above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes mean yes and your no mean no, so that you won't fall under judgment." What Jesus is saying here is like, hey, when you speak, the words that you use, they should be truthful. People should trust and know that what you're saying is true, and that when you say yes, you mean yes. And when you say no, you actually mean no. They don't have to second guess, and they don't have to ask you, hey, what did you really mean by that? Did I misunderstand you? You're speaking truthful. And not only that, but what you're speaking is good. John 8:44 is speaking of those that tell lies. And it says, "You are of your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he tells a lie, he speaks from his own nature because he is a liar and the father of lies." So Jesus is saying, hey, if you're part of my kingdom, you will speak the truth. The words you use will be truthful. The words you use will be good, because those that speak evil and speak lies and speak harm, they are from their father, the devil. They're in his kingdom. They're not in my kingdom. Because those that are in my kingdom are going to speak truth. They're going to speak goodness. So that's why our words matter. Now, when we look at these verses in verses 33 through 37, I think it's important to point out it doesn't seem like Jesus is prohibiting oaths completely. You know, I think it'd be easy to be like, oh, don't make an oath. You know, I can't swear on anything. I can't make an oath. You know, there are many things in our society that use oaths in a courtroom, marriages. You know, there's oaths of office. There's, you know, you have to make an oath of enlistment in the military or law enforcement. There are oaths that people make. And I don't think Jesus is saying, hey, you can't do any of these things. Oh, I can't go to court. I'm a Christian. I can't make an oath. I can't swear that I'm going to tell the truth. I can't do that. My yes means yes. My no means no. That's not what he's saying. I think when we really look at what Jesus is saying, he's talking about oaths in ordinary speech, right? Look at the example that he gave. Hey, you know, he says, you know, don't take an oath at all, either by heaven, right? Or by earth, or by, you know, our own head. You know, he's like, hey, you can't make your hair gray, you know, or white or black. You know, you can't control that. You know, heaven, you know, that's God's throne. The earth, that's his footstool. You know, it's like in our everyday conversations, that's kind of how that's reading there. You know, it's not saying, hey, not in a courtroom setting, right? But just in like in your everyday speech, he's saying, hey, don't be like, oh, I swear by this. Or, you know, when you're talking, you should be able to say what you mean and people trust you. And you want to say, oh, I swear by my mom and them, I'm telling you the truth. Because the words you use are truthful and people can trust you. He's talking about in our ordinary everyday speech. And, you know, and I think some other things that can back this up, that Jesus is not saying, hey, you can't make oaths at all, is one, we know that Jesus was in a courtroom and he testified under oath. You can see in Matthew 26, verse 63, they talk about his testimony under oath when he was in that false trial, when he was falsely accused. And we also know that there were times in Jesus' teaching, and even Paul does this, where they will repeat phrases to show the truthfulness of something. You know, Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you several times. Well, he's like, hey, you know, this is true. He's not saying, hey, you can't be like, hey, you know, that's the truth. I'm telling you the truth. He's not saying that. And even, you know, we know God made covenants with people, you know, and a covenant is an oath. And so I don't think he's prohibiting oaths here. I think what Jesus was prohibiting was a misleading oath, or, you know, in our speech, saying things and not being completely honest and clear. Because what Jesus is trying to teach here is that in our speech, that we are to always have honesty in our words and integrity in our words, and that he expects his followers to be honest and to speak with integrity and to not, you know, be like, oh yeah, you know, I swear, you know, when you're trying to mislead somebody. Like, he expects his followers to always be honest and speak with integrity, because the words that we use reflect the character of God and the kingdom that we belong to. That is why our words matter. That is why we should speak the truth. That is why when someone talks to us, they know our yes means yes and our no means no, because we represent his kingdom. And then we come to verses 38 through 42, where we see Jesus kind of shift to our actions. So in Matthew 5, verses 38 through 42, the Bible says this: you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, don't resist an evildoer. On the contrary, if anyone slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. As for the one who wants to sue you and take away your shirt, let him have your coat as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to the one who asks you, and don't turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. Now, here, again, Jesus is talking about our actions, and it's not just the words that we use and how we speak to someone, but we see here that Jesus is talking about how we act towards other people. And so first, we see right out of the gate, Jesus is saying that we should not retaliate against someone with evil or aggression, with violence or aggression. You know, we should not retaliate to someone, you know, that does evil towards us with violence or aggression. And we see right at the beginning, you've heard it was said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. This idea in the Jewish culture that, you know, when you commit a crime or you do something to offend someone, what you do, you will be paid back for it equally, right? Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. And that kind of got warped from punishment to vengeance, right? And so in this culture, you know, you sought that eye, you sought that tooth that someone took from you. You know, if someone gouged out your eye, you're going to seek their eye, right? And so what we see here in verse 39, right out of the gate, it says, but I tell you, don't resist an evildoer. Now, this means to not retaliate to another person as an enemy. You know, someone that does evil towards you, you're not supposed to resist them. It says, don't resist them. We're not retaliating to them as an enemy. Instead, God wants us to retaliate as neighbors. He wants us to be loving, not hateful. He wants us to be kind, not harsh. Revenge is not an option for someone that is of the kingdom of God. Romans 12, verses 17 through 21 says these words. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Give careful thought to do what is honorable in everyone's eyes. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Friends, do not avenge yourselves. Instead, leave room for God's wrath, because it is written, vengeance belongs to me. I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For in so doing, you will be heaping fiery coals on his head. Do not be conquered by evil, but conquer evil with good. In these verses, Paul is explaining to us, we don't seek vengeance. We don't seek to retaliate against evil that's done to us. Instead, we're to treat them with love and kindness. He even goes far as to say is that in doing so and showing that kindness, that love, it's like heaping coals on their head, fiery coals on their head. We conquer evil by doing good. That's the expectation of being a part of the kingdom of God. Not what the world says, hey, you get even, you get back. You know, the idea, I don't get mad, I get even. That is a foreign mindset to someone that's in the citizen, that's a citizen of God's kingdom. That's not an option. That's not how we are to think. Now, yeah, that's difficult. That's hard. That goes against what this world, this culture tells us we should do. But we should seek to walk in the steps of Christ, no matter how hard it is. So not only in our actions should we not retaliate against evil with violence or aggression, but we should also give grace. We see here, it says, but I tell you, don't resist an evildoer. On the contrary, if anyone slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to them also. Don't retaliate. Verse 40, as for the one who wants to sue you and take away your shirt, let him have your coat as well. Think about that. Someone sues you and they're supposed to get your shirt. And Jesus says, okay, don't just take my shirt. Here, take my coat too. Not just the thing that it says that they deserve, but give them your coat, the thing that they don't deserve too. You know what that's called, giving what you don't deserve? Grace. Now, Jesus was the perfect model for this response, right? You know, you think about turning the other cheek. You know, someone slaps you on your cheek, turn the other cheek too. You know, that word slap is the same slap that's used when Jesus was slapped in the process of being beaten and taken to be crucified on the cross. You know, Jesus, he was mocked. He was spat on. He was ridiculed. He was beaten. He was nailed to a cross. He was killed. But in all of that, he endured it all without retaliation, and he offered forgiveness. And we're never more like Jesus than when we respond to abuse graciously, without retaliation. And that is why we're to give grace. We should always give grace in how we deal with people, even when they don't deserve it. Because here's the thing, we didn't deserve it. We don't deserve grace. And so even when we're dealing with those people that we deem unworthy of grace, that's even more of the reason why we should show grace in our actions, in all of our actions and how we treat people. Do we show grace? I don't want to do that. It's not easy. It's not the human nature. But being a citizen of God's kingdom is being above our human nature, being above what we think is right. Because the heart can deceive us and lie to us. But Jesus is saying, hey, when someone slaps you, turn the other cheek. If someone deserves your shirt, give them your coat. Show them grace. Give them what they don't deserve, because you've been given what you don't deserve. And the last thing that we see when it comes to our actions and how we should treat others, we should seek to go the extra mile and help those in need. We see here, verse 41, if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Now in Israel, they were occupied, an occupied territory of Rome. And so anyone that was, you know, a citizen or under the rulership of Rome, they could legally be compelled to assist the Roman military. We even see an example of that in scripture in Mark 15, verse 21, when they forced Simon of Cyrene to carry the cross of Jesus. Now, the Jews, they hated this practice because it showed publicly that they were subjects to Rome, that they were under Rome. And so when Jesus referred to the required mile, in the Latin, a mile is 1,000 steps, he was saying like, hey, you know, in the Roman law, they're required for you to go 1,000 steps, to go 1 mile. But what I say is go 2. Carry the load voluntarily that second mile. Not for Rome, not for the emperor, but for your king in heaven. And when you do that, you know, just think about what that Roman soldier must think. He's like, hey, carry this, whatever it is, for a mile. And you go, okay, I'm going to carry it too. He's like, why? Why would you do that? I can only make you go 1 mile. Why would you do this another mile? And you get to tell them, hey, it's for my king, Jesus. It's a sign of compassion. It shows our loyalty to God's kingdom. We go the extra mile because Jesus went the extra mile for us. And this also goes into play as why we help those in need. In verse 42, give to the one who asks you. Don't turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. We help those that are in need because he helped us when we were in need. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. We've been blessed above all else in this world. And when we share that with others, when we share what we have, when we share what we've been given, we gain opportunities to share the gospel. That is why we should go the extra mile. That is why not only should we go the extra mile, but we should help those in need because of what Jesus has done for us. And so to wrap up this section, in Matthew 5, verses 33 through 42, knowing that God sees our words and our actions, we must speak truthfully instead of falsely and act generously instead of vengefully. And we do that so we can demonstrate to others that we are a part of God's kingdom. So that's our scripture of the week, Matthew 5, verses 33 through 42. Now, we're going to move on to our next segment, which is You Ask, We Answer. And so this is a segment where we answer different questions that have been turned in by different people. And so today, our question was actually brought up by a parent. And so the question is, what is the best way to teach our children to believe in God and the Bible? Now, you know, this is a question very directed towards parents and children, but I also think it could apply to anyone that's trying to convince or teach someone to trust in God and trust in the Bible. So I think whether you're a parent or not, I think you can gain something from this question. But the question again, what's the best way to teach our children to believe in God and the Bible? The best way for us to teach our kids to trust in God, to believe in God, to trust in the Bible, to believe in the Bible is by setting a Christian example. The answer in how to teach them, it's not lecturing them or not preaching to our children, but it's living like Christ in front of them every day. I'm reminded of Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 through 7. It says these words that I'm giving you today are to be in your heart. Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Here, the people are being commanded, hey, the word of God, the things that I am teaching you and how to live, repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you're sitting in your house, when you're, you know, walking down the road, when you're lying down, when you're getting up, like just every day. And how you live. Because, you know, yes, you could read, you know, the Bible, and it's good, and you should read the Bible with your kids every day. But that means nothing. That's useless if they don't see you living what you're reading with them. See, our kids, they're going to look for the Holy Spirit in your life before they look to invite the Holy Spirit into theirs. And if they don't see evidence of God living in and through you, if they don't see you demonstrating what it looks like to follow Christ, if they don't see evidence of the Holy Spirit within you, they're never going to want to believe in God. They're never going to want to believe the Bible. They're not going to want to trust Him. If they see that you trust Him, but you're not living it, if they see, hey, they say they believe in the Bible, but they don't do what it says, your example, that is the best way to teach your children, to show your children how to believe in God and believe in the Bible, is the example that you set before them. Now, yes, it's important to spend time with your family and in prayer and reading the Bible and spending time with God together. But the best way, because that was the question, what is the best way to teach our children to believe in God and the Bible? Show them. Live that for them. Live the way Jesus calls you to live. Let them see that. Because, you know, especially in our teenagers today, they're going to recognize real, right? They're going to know if you're real or not. So if you say, hey, yeah, I believe in God, I follow Him, they're going to know. They're going to see. They're with you all the time. So they're going to know if you really believe what you say you believe. And so if your desire is to truly get your children to believe in God, to trust in the Bible, then you need to set that example. Do as Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 7 tells us to live that by that example, to repeat them with your children, to talk about it as you sit in your house, when you're walking along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. You know, I think back to even the scripture of the week, you know, in the busyness, right? Is church, is God, is the Bible, is that just something maybe we talk about 15 minutes at the dinner table? Or is it your life? Are you setting that example? Because if you truly want them to trust and believe in God and the Bible, you need to. Because if you don't really believe, if you're not living that way, if God maybe comes third, fourth, fifth, sixth on the list, why would they ever want to put Him first? But when you put Him first and they see that and they can see that example, that's the best way to teach them, is by showing them. You know, our kids don't want to hear another sermon. They want to see you live it. And that's going to be the best way to teach them. And so even if you're not a parent, if there's someone in your life that you're trying to share the gospel with, you're trying to show Jesus, don't just shove scripture down their throat. Don't just, hey, listen to this sermon. Hey, come to church with me. Hey, do this, do that. Show them. Live Jesus in front of them. When they see that difference in you, when they see the way that you live, that's the best way for us to share the gospel. So especially when it comes to our children, it doesn't need to be a do as I say, not as I do. But we need to be living Jesus, modeling Jesus for them each and every day, in each and every way, in each and every part of our life. Not just here, not just at church, not just at the dinner table, not just in front of these people, but in every way. Even when we mess up, are we modeling Jesus in our failures? Because that is the best way to get our children to believe in God and believe in the Bible. So that is our segment, You Asked, We Answered. So our final segment is called Let's Talk. And so in this segment, we just talk about different things that are going on in our youth ministry. And so this past week, we had our parent meeting for Mission Serve. And so that just kind of got me thinking about all the things that we do throughout any given year in our youth ministry that is directly focused on missions or serving. And so I just kind of want to walk through the year and some of the things that we do. And I may miss something. And if I do, I apologize. But, you know, it's important for me. It's important for our youth committee. It's important for our youth leaders that what we do isn't all inward focused. You know, that it's not all about us doing stuff, us having fun, you know, us being together. Like it's not just all about us inwardly, but it's important for us to do things for others, to serve. And so one of the things that we do, and I've talked about this before, and this is an every week thing, our youth is directly involved with the food bag ministry at Saluda Middle School and High School. We pack those bags, we take them. Sometimes I take them, sometimes some of the youth take them, and those bags go home with students in the middle and high school that need food to help them throughout the weekend. And so that is a big way that our youth group is doing outreach every week, you know, and usually it's the same group of kids. Sometimes we pull other kids to come down there and help. And that's the way that we're serving every week. And so then another thing that we do every year, and usually we do this around January, February. Usually it's in January, but we have a time where we make soup, cornbread, and we go out to the seniors in our church. And we try to focus on homebound first, and then we just go to, you know, any senior, and we just bring that soup, that cornbread, that lunch for them. And, you know, usually we visit with them for a little bit. You know, we break up and different youth go out and they will take to two or three different seniors. And we just take time to just love on them and spend time with them. And for us, that is a way that, you know, we can let them know that we're thinking about them, that we appreciate them. It's a way for us to get out and to go. And then another thing we do for our seniors is usually March time frame, we host a dinner, a banquet for them, where they come, we serve them, we cook for them, we serve them, we provide entertainment. And again, it's all about just loving them and doing something for them and serving them. And so those are some big things that we do for our seniors. And then we get to the summer. And so in the summer, one thing that we've done for the past, we did last year, and we're doing it this year. Super excited about it, but our youth praise team has actually went to, it's the camp that our kids are going to this year. But actually, it might have been the past 3 years. Yeah, I think it's been the past 3 years. So our youth praise team actually leads worship for that kids camp. And so our youth praise team, they've been working really hard for the past couple months. They got about 3 more weeks before the camp. And so they go and they just lead worship. And it's just a great time. One, our kids are there. But even if our kids don't go, you know, if they stop going, they don't go next summer. This is still a great opportunity for them to go to this camp and, you know, share their talents, lead these kids in worship. And, you know, it's just a great opportunity for them to serve. And then we also do something called Mission Serve, which is a week every summer where we partner with the organization Mission Serve. You can Google Mission Serve, find their website, learn a whole lot more about what they do. But basically, what Mission Serve is we go to different churches. Sometimes we stay at schools, but we partner with the community and we do service projects for that community. Roofing, building wheelchair ramps, yard work, different things. And so this is it's a mission trip, basically. You know, it's in the States. Usually we try to go outside of our state, but sometimes you can go in your state. There are South Carolina projects. But this is a mission trip. You know, they go to serve and they work. You know, we have fun. You know, we have fun while we're doing it, but we work hard. And we do that hard work to show love and eventually share the gospel with these people. And so that's the mission trip that we do every year. And there's also Vacation Bible School. Our youth are very involved in helping decorate, helping run things. You know, we always fill in the gap. You know, the youth, we kind of all just kind of gather together. They gather with me and then we kind of fill the gap in whatever's needed. So we help serve in Vacation Bible School. Every year we also, we do the Easter egg hunt for the kids. You know, so we hide the eggs, we clean up after that. We do all of that to serve and love on our kids. We also, man, all the games, decorate everything for the fall festival that we do around Halloween time every year. So they're very involved in also helping with the kids ministry. And then the last thing, and like I said, I may be leaving some things out. That's okay. The last way we serve is we do something every year that we call Youth Sunday. We've talked about this on here before, but this is a way we get to serve our congregation specifically. We share our talents musically, one of our youth preaches, and we just do everything for the service. And basically the goal, you know, it's not, oh, we want the youth to do everything. The goal is by us doing everything, all those adults, all those other people that usually do the stuff, they get a chance to just sit back and be blessed. And we get to lead them. And so they don't have to do all the stuff. And so those are just some of the main ways that we do try to serve throughout the year. You know, we are always looking for opportunities to get our kids involved. One big thing I forgot is called Operation Christmas Child, the shoe boxes. You know, you pack a shoe box through the Samaritan Purse Ministries. Our youth actually kind of spearheads that. You know, so we get all the boxes, we put all the boxes together, we take them down, and we put them where our congregation can pick them up and take them to fill them out. When they bring them back to the church, we go through them, we make sure all the boxes are filled correctly, there's nothing in it that shouldn't be in it. We load them up, we actually take them to the drop-off center. And so that's another way that, you know, our youth group is involved in serving and ministry. And, you know, I like to try to incorporate a lot of serving and a lot of things that aren't just, oh, we're just doing this because we're having fun. There's time for that. There's times for a movie night. We just did one, you know, where we just watch a movie. But we also want to be about serving. And so those are some of the big ways that each year we seek to serve. So I hope this episode of our podcast has been helpful. It's uplifted you. Like always, if you have any questions, maybe something that said in this episode, you're like, hey, I'd like to talk more about whatever, you know, shoot me a text, phone call, email, and I would love to incorporate that question on that on our You Ask, We Answer segment. But anyway, thank you for joining us. Hopefully we will see you next week. I want to pray for us, and then we'll talk to you next time. Let's pray. God, just thank you so much for this day. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your love for us. I thank you that you chose to bring us into your kingdom, into your family. And so, Father, I just pray that you will help us to, God, just take your word and hide it in our heart and apply it to our lives. And Father, especially when it comes to our children, for those parents that may be listening, God, help us to lead by example. You know, help us to not just, you know, say one thing and do the other, but help us to show our children your heart by how we live and follow you. And God, we just love you and we thank you. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. God bless you.